Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we need your love and guidance to show us the way, how to live according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody knows what it's like to get a little bit overwhelmed, and that's for all of us. We all do sometimes. Now, me too. Just when we look around the world, we see things that just get our attention, the events of the world, the events in our life, and we look at them and then we put them in order so that we can evaluate what to do or what not to do. It's a plan of action that we can take. Well, we all do it a little bit because we all have events happen each day, each month, each year. And that's what we do. We put things into order and then decide what to do. Maybe what to buy at the store. How much money do we have? Oh, it is just plain obvious how there are choices that we must make. And we choose and they make a difference in our life. And we all get concerned about what's going on from time to time. There are really good reasons to be concerned. It's just that they are different at different times for different people. Because after all, we all can see the trouble coming our way. And whew, that reminds me. Yesterday, I talked with my wife for about half a minute, and she said, "What's wrong, John?" And I said, "Well, I'm just feeling a heaviness." And she said, "Well, let's sing a song. Come on," she said, "sing." She said, "Oh, I've got the joy, 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 the joy of the Lord in my heart." And I thought, hey, that's funny, but true. So I thought it was interesting how we kind of pick ourselves up and really do have joy in our life when we think about all the goodness. And so there was no problem in my life. I wasn't hurt in any way. I wasn't hungry. There was nothing going on except I was thinking about what goes on in the world. And otherwise than that, I was good and fine. So it's nice to have somebody who's concerned about you and will say something of some expressed concern. Well, anyway, we all have concerns in this world, and we are thankful that God answers our prayers. And he does it with wisdom, godly wisdom, that we always seek to have and understand. Now, that's one of the great things about reading the Bible, is we get to understand godly wisdom and how to act on godly wisdom. Now, the Bible stories are full of truth and examples for us to learn from. And that it makes it easy to love our Bible and the biblical wisdom that is in it. We learn as we live, don't we? And we see examples of what to do and what not to do. Biblical wisdom. We get that when we study our Bible. It's just wonderful to do. Now, I talk about what is going on in the world quite often, I do. That's because I see the things going on, and I get a little bit concerned about the trouble that is coming here and there and everywhere in the world. And I get concerned that there will be a great falling away, and there will be a beast system. But the hard times are not here yet. Nevertheless, I can see why they will come at some point, probably pretty soon. It's all looking like that hard time and the beast system is coming our way. It just is building up in many different areas. Well, hard times can make a person take steps towards God or away from God, and our Bible tells us to fear not. So let us remember to fear not, even in the midst of hard times. Well, we do see people falling away from Jesus Christ, and we hear that, or we read that the love of many will grow cold, and it brings sadness to our mind and our heart when we see people turning away from Jesus. And we get to turn people to Jesus with the good news of the gospel, that our sins can be forgiven and we can be saved and go to heaven. It's really wonderful news, and we will tell people that wonderful good news as the occasion arises. And that's the wonderful thing about being involved with a community of people. Talk to different people and tell them about the goodness of heaven. Or maybe we tell them about the terrors of hell. It's just a matter of making things work out with biblical wisdom about what you're going to talk about. Talk about your own experience. Talk about the good news and the love of God. It's just a wonderful thing. And when we repent and are born again and have eternity in heaven, yeah, that's better. Better than an eternity in hell. So we can talk about all those things using wisdom. Talk about how God is love. And Matthew 22:37 talks about we love God and we love our neighbor. This is an example for us. And then we get to figure out how to deliver this message and say it in a good and godly way with wisdom. And there are things to have that'll make things easier in life. Part of that is just the basics of life, which is water, food, and warmth. Or having supplies, having a food bank, having a community that you're a part of. All these things are good, and we get to figure out how to actually do it and live. Now, some of our supplies will make living easier for us and for others, and that is what we want to do to show that godly love to others. And there are passages that tell us, do not fear. That's a big one. Now, sometimes people think that I'm talking about having fear, but I'm not. I'm just talking about having preparedness so that we don't have to have a fear of going without water, food, and warmth, and a community. See, it's really about having preparedness so that we do not have to go without. And certainly we will rely on each other in a community for the health and the various things that we need. Help here and help there, and it's a good thing. We just choose to make decisions that will have good consequences instead of tough ones. Well, the Bible tells us how to live and how to be protected as we live a good and godly life. Often people expect God to provide for their every need, and I just kind of think about those people, how they expect God to provide what they want, whatever it is. And is God going to provide you with a house and a car and gas and groceries? Well, there are people who say, yes, that's what God does. I guess we have to figure out what our God is about. And we figure out what God's part is and what our part is. And we might have to reevaluate that as we see examples in the Bible of what the followers of Jesus said and did, or what the apostles said and did as we preach the good news of the gospel. Now, there are a few times when Christ followers were fed. That happened a few times. In Luke chapter 9, there was the feeding of the 5,000, and then there were the feeding of the 4,000. So the groups you can demonstrate would be different groups of people, and it's something to study and to look into, but we are aware that Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes so that people had a miracle right in front of them as they ate. Amazing. Well, there's a lot of amazing things that go on. And you can say one way or the other, because I think of 2 Thessalonians 3:10, where it says, those who do not work shall not eat. And we have to figure out how that works into our life and the life of the people around us. It's all very curious, very interesting. We have miracles that have happened. We have had the manna of the people, the Hebrew children in the desert. All sorts of things. And we read, Exodus 16, about multiplying food. Or the Luke passage about multiplying bread and fishes. Well, we do get to struggle to understand the world and the church and everything going on around us. As we struggle to live a life that is good and proper in God's will, and we see the things going on that really are struggles that might not be good with people, with government, with the struggles to stay in power. Wow, we just see it all around us. To stay alive, it is all a question of how we relate to the world. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of war, and rumors of war that come right out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, we live in a time where we are born for a time such as this, when there is danger for followers of Christ, and if you look in other countries, or this one, look, in this country we have shootings going on, but in Nigeria they have shootings that are way worse, or they will catch a church on fire, and then when the Christian people inside the church leave, they are shot to death. Oh, there are troubles in the world, and we get to be thankful for all the restraints that there are here in this world, in the United States, and we still get to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. We do have troubles, but they are all across the board, some serious, some small. And we might be concerned about our restaurants going out of business or the Dollar Tree stores going broke. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can be concerned about. Our jobs, our retirement, the people around us, the services we enjoy. Yes, there are many reasons that we have to live in the world and prepare for this or for that. Now, I know I get concerned about all sorts of things. I get concerned about the retirement programs that are, for the cities and the states, there are cities and states that are selling their assets just to provide the income to the retired people, the funds that support retirement. And of course, if the cities and the states sell all of their assets, they will have no more assets or income to sell. So we have things that are affecting us, and somehow we have to learn how to live wisely in this world. And we all see the struggles. The struggles just don't seem to stop. Struggles with our daily needs, whether they're having our car worked on or groceries or our job. Speaking of cars, you know that there are people these days that have been unable to get their car parts because they come from out of the country, and they say, oh, we're not going to have a starter or whatever it is for another 3 or 4 months. That is going on. There are antibiotics that are not being delivered to the United States. All sorts of things are going on. We have struggles. And we get to try to understand why there are struggles and what we can do about it. And yes, of course, prayers help. But it also helps that we live in a godly manner and follow the laws of God. You can call it the commandments of God if you want. It's just that they are a godly way of living, and we seek to live godly, whether you are a politician or a warrior or a working person or a mom or dad. And we have things that are coming into our country. Oh, we have migrants that are coming into the country, and we have to wonder, what are their struggles, and are they going to be as godly as the people in the United States? Or are we godly? Or are we worldly? Well, what a little bit of trouble that can be. Are we following God? Or are we doing things in the world that is all about money and wealth? Well, we have people in the world that's all they think about is money and wealth. And they are really cutthroat about it. Cutthroat, sure, they are live or let the other people die. I mean, this is how some people are. And that reminds me of a story about a man who I have known for 20 years. He used to come to Bible studies a whole lot. And he was an ex-convict who now is with the Lord. But I guess 30 years ago he came to Jesus Christ, and he has said that for 30 years, every day he has had to say no to alcohol and drugs and yes to Jesus. It's a matter that we all have a different struggle in life, and that was his struggle, to stay sober and as a God Christ follower. I thought it was pretty interesting that I got to talk to him and find out that there was a time in his life when he literally would just as soon look at a person as shoot them, because he was only concerned about getting his drugs, which were alcohol and other drugs. So we know we have people like that in the world, and thankfully he overcame that and was a faithful Christ follower. But there's lots of people in the world who just think about whatever their need is. As I said, alcohol, drugs, it can be that, or it can be wealth and your money. And those people try to take every bit of money away from you. That's what they do. That's their only interest. And we are struggling with how to live a godly, Christ-following life. Now, there's plenty of people today who have violence in their heart and on their mind, and they want to literally destroy people. And they think of ways to, I'm just thinking of the military people who, well, some of them want to destroy other people, and that is their mind set to have phosphorus in the bombs and radiation in the bombs, or to turn off the electricity to a population or the water. And they're enemies of the United States who want to do that. They want to turn off our electricity and our water, shut down our banks, shut down our communications. This is something that they actually want, and they want Americans to die. So I think of the soldiers in the field who, that's what they are trying to do. Or how about the people who come before Congress and say, we want more money so we can build more bombs, and we want to destroy a country, turn off the electricity, turn off the water. Well, there are people who have done that in wartime. United States has done that. And people across the world have done that to other people. They want to win by any means that they can find, and that includes war. It is a matter of evil going on, just like we have the people who funded COVID research, and we can see that there is a side of goodness to building missiles and airplanes, but there is also a side of terrible destruction and the research that goes on. Well, God will judge our heart, and sometimes there are the effects that are going on in the world today, just like there are ships that are getting missile attacks or other kinds of attack, or the attacks that have gone on, yes, in Yemen, yes, in Israel, and yes, in Gaza. Just all sorts of things going on. I'm glad I'm not judging what is going on, but there are people who do. There are countries that do, and groups that say, now we're going to get you back. And look at what's going on with China and Turkey and Russia. They are entering into an agreement. I don't know that it's formal, but it has sounded like it was formal, that they would go against the United States and against the United Kingdom, because the United States and the United Kingdom is attacking, Yemen and other countries too. So they say, all right, now we're going to get United States and Great Britain back. We're not going to deliver the car parts or the medicine or whatever it is. And so we are seeing shortages. We are seeing shortages all across the United States. We're having people say, oh, there's no starter for your car in the United States. We hope to have one in 5 or 6 months. And that literally is happening right now. So we are having a certain consequence to the actions or to the political philosophies that are going on, and we are having this kind and that kind of attack, and we have to be looking out for what can seriously affect our life. We have had threats on every level of business and government, and we can only guess what kind of judgments are going to come to our nation. Things are going on, and without God, we are in trouble. So that's what I have been noticing lately, and that has been my concern. As I see the direction that is going on, and how if we do not turn to God. You see, we've been kicking God out of so many areas of life, out of the town square, out of the government, out of the schools. And we need to bring God, Jesus, back into our own life, into the life of the people we love, and repent of our unbelief and follow the love and the rules, the commandments of God, and be born again. there's the John 3 that said we must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And that is so wonderful and awesome that we can be born again as we see that we need Jesus and we live our life faithful to Jesus Christ. And amen to that. Oh, so much going on. So many people will tell you how to live. Oh, boy, oh, boy. And now these people can be religious or they can be cult leaders or something else. And they certainly will tell you how to live. But it is up to you to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We get to know God, Jesus, through the Bible as we study and as we read and as we ask God to show us the truth and what to do, how to live. So that's a matter of prayer. Yes, we pray for ourselves. Yes, we pray for the people we love and others too. And that includes the people we do not love. Because if the people we do not love become Christian, well, then we have so much more goodness in the world. So just spend a lot of time in prayer for other people. I think that's a very good thing to do. It benefits the world we live in. And then again, I will say study the Bible and get taught everything. Find out that we want to follow God, Jesus. Now, we do find out about God, Jesus, in the Bible, and that certainly is a big matter for us to do. Now, sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and our lifetime is a different length. Some people only live a few years. Some people live 100 years. But we have one lifetime, and then we get a judgment after we die. That's what the Bible says. So we have a wonderful life experience, and then we spend eternity in heaven if we have Jesus Christ. Let's devote our life to Jesus. And I think about how valuable life is, and what a joy life is. God gave us life. God gave us this body to enjoy life, and it is wonderful. So here we are, loving life, and we get to learn about the examples here and there. We want to have people around us that love God, love other people, and sure, love life. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, too. I think of the examples in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a story of when Jesus cast the demons into a herd of swine, and the herd of swine ran right into a lake and drowned. Now, I think this shows the reality of what demons in a person are like. And we certainly don't want to have any demons in our life, and so we accept Jesus into our life, mind, and heart, and then there's no room for the evil demons to live in our life. And those pigs decided they would rather drown into a lake than live with demons. So we can use this as an understanding or an indicator of how beautiful godly love is and how we do not want to have demons in our life. We want to know Jesus and spend an eternity with Jesus in heaven. How wonderful that is. We get a little taste of it when we are living on earth. We find out this and that, and we say, oh, yes, Lord, and we seek more and more to belong to Jesus. We do have expectations of what will happen in life, and a little bit we have to be careful with that, because some of us will expect Jesus to provide this and that for us. But that's not always the way it works. And we do have troubles in life. That's just life. All sorts of troubles. Whether it's trouble with someone in your family, or if you have a car accident or something, these troubles can take away a person's joy in life. But when we really consider all the joy that we do have to live this life, we just renew the joy of life that we feel. And thank God for that. And thank God we have a heavenly life after this one. It is simply wonderful. And we get to learn these things sometime by an emotional experience and sometimes by an experience in our intellect. And it's just wonderful to search God out and find out how we can live for God Jesus. That's a part of our testimony. And we give our testimony over and over in life. And sometimes it's a little bit different, but it certainly is our testimony. We know that there are people who have trouble in life. You could call it pain. There is pain in life. And sometimes we get relieved of the pain, and sometimes we just live with it. It's life, and we get to seek understanding. It's life. Life is really wonderful. And when we think about the pleasures of life, we get to look around the earth, and that's wonderful too. I think of the places that I have been, and I just have a lot of joy for the things that I have been able to see in life. From the dirt and the trees and the plants or the animals or just plain nice people. There is wonders on this earth, and we are thankful for, thankful for the museums. Oh, I have been to museums, many of them. I've been to churches around Europe and United States. It's just wonderful. And we get to see, I just thought of the Louvre. The Louvre is a great museum in Paris, France. Oh, so many life experiences. I think of riding an elephant in Thailand. Yes, it was an experience. Did I love it? No, but it was a nice experience. I got to see, as I said, churches. I got to see Auschwitz. Amazing. It's also a symbol of the depravity of man in the world. So we have these things. We have the megaliths that we can see. You know, the great big rock works. Stone works that is gigantic. Yes, the pyramids. Well, I've not seen them, but I have seen the stonework in Machu Picchu in Peru. It's just amazing. And I had to look at those very closely, and I could just see that this was not something done by men. The world has mysteries in it, and there are the histories that are going on, the history of Earth. And it's not always what we think. We have to put God into our understandings and see what goes on with mankind, what could have gone on with time before men or even giants. I mean, there are things that, as I say, they are mysteries. And we try to figure out how the Earth has gotten to be where it is. It's astounding. God created it, and we are astounded. We get to study the world and have a little slice of understanding. When we have a little knowledge of God, it is awesome. He has made the rules of the world and of science and so many parts of the earth, or the parts of man's thinking and understanding. It's just amazing. And we get to say, it's wonderful to seek understanding. God is amazing, and we seek that understanding, including the understanding of godly love. What is godly love? Well, we seek the understanding, and then we find out a little more and a little bit more. Our mind can grasp a little bit of what God's great love is about and how he is so inventive. It's astounding when we look at the world around us and we get to see this and that. And people understand that great love and awesomeness of God, and they just want to belong to God, Jesus, so much that they are willing to only love and support the God understanding to other people. I think that's what a martyr is about, because there have been people who would say, "You deny Jesus, or we will kill you." And they say, "Oh, I would rather die than deny Jesus." So that's what the martyrs do. It is a love that might defy logic, but it is simply so great. Yes, it can defy human logic, but it is a great godly logic and a great love of God. It's awesome love that we have when we understand Bible and understand Jesus. And that's what we do. We study the Bible, we understand Jesus, and we all have a testimony for how our relation with God, Jesus, has grown. And that's one of the things we certainly talk about to other people. Astounding and amazing. Now, about a week ago, somebody asked me about, my wonderful experiences in life. And I thought for a little bit, and yeah, I came up with them. Life is amazing. Life is wonderful, glorious, and beautiful. But compared to God, God is much more awesome, great, and beautiful than our little experience with life is. But I did think about the wonderful, amazing things in life. I thought about my trip to, lots of trips, to here and there, where I got to see churches and museums or cathedrals in Europe. It's really just wonderful, amazing, wonderful things that have gotten built and made. I thought about once in church, there was singing. It was a little teeny church. I mean, it was hardly a church. It was more like a building that was used as a church in Thailand. But the singing by the women in that church was just, it reminded me of a heavenly occasion. It was wonderful. I think in another time I saw the joy of a girl who was probably 5 years old, and she was just excited about life, and she wanted to dance for the people in front of her. It happened to be a couple of American tourists, and I was one of them in Peru, and that was another little delight of life. It was just a joy to see a person so joyful. It was a wonderful thing. And another experience of life that was just amazing, quite different from that, but when I think about, it was the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa, where the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean meet. And you can see the two different colors of green and blue coming together and just kind of swirling. That was another little wonder when you can see the two oceans meeting. And of course, they're different temperatures, so they have different colors. And it was just interesting, amazing to watch the oceans swirl together and meet. Well, awesome experiences. There are lots of them in life. I think the most awesome experience that I have had is to witness my child being born. Well, all of them. And it's just been an amazing thing to see life come to life right outside of the womb. It is just a wonderful, amazing experience. Well, life is wonderful and amazing. And yet there are things that are quite the opposite of life. When I think of, I guess since I'm on this thought, I will talk a little about it. But there's a lot of pain in life, too. We all know pain. But I have seen anguish, and that is different from pain. I've seen death, Well, people that have experienced the tragedies of death, people crying in the streets of the big cities of the world. Oh, and then there's the death camps that I have seen. I've seen Auschwitz in Poland there, and it's just so amazing to see what people will do to people. It is a depraved human experience. And we know there are depraved people today who will murder innocent people, even in their homes, and cause great suffering. Now, there are stories that are just so painful, and if you look for them, you can find them. And it just shows how much we need the love of God in the world. We need God's love, and we express God's love by the best we know how. As a Christ follower, that's what we do. And that love brings people to come to know Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. This world has, yes, it has evil, but yes, it has amazing goodness. And that's what we do in the world. We choose light and the light of Jesus Christ in the world. And that's a part of our testimony. That's what we do in the midst of all the craziness that goes on around us. We know that there are schemes. We know there is trouble. When you think of the people who try to cheat other people, they might have insurance scams going on. They might cause an accident just to get money. Yes, we hear the stories, and we know there is bad abuse and violence in the world. And we choose to be followers of Jesus Christ for the goodness of Jesus Christ in the world. And we're grateful that we get to know Jesus and have the hope, not just hope, it's more than hope, because we can see how it works as we study and read our Bible. We get to understand God and heaven and how wonderful it is when we live a godly life, follower of Jesus Christ with faith. And then we have that goodness in our life. Sure, there can be evil in the world. That happens too. But our job is to represent Jesus, which is the good. Now, here in America, we have all sorts of things going on. We have goodness and we have evil. Evil going on all over the place. And we see what has happened when we have removed God out of the public square, out of our institutions. And what do we have? We have evil coming into all sorts of institutions around us. You could even say that evil is coming into our world as ungodly cultures and social habits and violence come into America. We have to fight to have our freedom. Now, I don't mean a great big physical fight, but I know it could come to that. The point is we are going to fight in a spiritual battle with prayer, with praying for other people. That is the method that we use to fight for godly goodness in our society and in our world. And it is a struggle going on, yes, between good and evil. Well, we have talked about this so much. Let's see, I think I talked about that on the February 10th, 2024 broadcast. We have the things going on that we struggle with, and we want to be a part of godly goodness, and that is what we do. Oh, and by the way, you can always look at any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. You can listen to this broadcast again or any past broadcasts. Oh, and if you would like to have a set of my preparedness papers, I would be pleased to send them to you. They are free, but I would ask that you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. It's a John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95922. to 7. Well, there's so many things going on in our world, troubles and joy and pleasure, everything. And so we want to represent the goodness of God in this world, and that's what we will do. We will stay alive and spread hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I think about us having some supplies. Yes, water, food, yes, warmth. And there are different ways to do it, and we all choose what is the most appropriate for each one of us. But this is why we want to stay alive, so that we can show the goodness of God to others, to have that those, whatever it is, water, food, and warmth, and supplies, and being a part of a community, that is just plain what we do. And this is being of service to the goodness of God. That, again, is exactly what we do. So we have a struggle in life, we have a struggle in our country, and we want to represent the goodness of God. So in just a minute, I'm going to play a broadcast from Discover Ministries in Australia. Steve Cicliani has a broadcast where he talks about the goodness of the United States and the troubles going on here. And so, sure, his ministry is based out of Australia, but also has an American following. And so there are things that he talks about that are going on in America. And there's this little 8-minute tape video that is a warning from Tucker Carlson that talks about AI, artificial intelligence, and the military security state, and how it is seeking to control people and bring into, yes, America, and yes, into the world, a beast system that is described in Revelation 13. Now, we have these things going on, and if we are not watchful, the evil forces in the world will bring it into our life and bring it into our country. Because clearly, there is artificial intelligence going on, and it is based in what it knows about us. And so much of what it knows about each one of us is on social media. And this, the way we speak on social media gives the artificial intelligence a way to understand what each one of us is about, what our morality will be, what our choices will be. And it is being used as a way of determining who each one of us is and how we will act. It's a study that is being done certainly by government and certainly by the computerization of media. So we can only be prepared for it and recognize that this is the world we are going to be living in. And some of us will be able to escape it, either by living outside of the system or maybe even in our own little community. I don't know how to do it. All I know is if you are concerned, you better give it some very serious thought. So here it is, Steve Cicliani of Discover Ministries. And you can look it up on your own. It is titled, Who Really Runs the USA? And that was on February 21st, 2020. Who Really Runs the USA? You can listen to the whole thing, but we're going to listen to it now. Well, God bless you, and thank you for listening today. Always, I am glad to hear from you. Or if you would like the preparedness pages, you can always write me or send me a donation too. That's wonderful. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you.
Who is in charge? Is it Biden? Is it Trump? Who's in charge? And part of the answers that we're getting right now is the exposure of truth. And if churches are not telling you, then welcome to Discover Church. You ought to be told this. One of the greatest revelations that's come out to expose the deep state has just occurred, like hours ago. And it was a guy named Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z. And the information that he gave recently to Tucker Carlson and now published on Twitter, it's more than the Twitter files. It's more than anything I've ever heard. Basically, we're all under a grand propaganda, a military propaganda, and he says that actually it's the military in sync with the media, in sync with big tech, that is ruling America. And when any story doesn't go the way that they want, like COVID, they have the money and the pressure to control and pull the strings. And they have all sorts of think tanks. So one of the things that I heard was just absolutely shocking is one of the well-known think tanks I've heard of for years is the Atlantic Council. Well, did you know that 7 former CIA directors all sit on the Atlantic Council? These are unelected bodies. And I didn't even know 7 of them are still alive. But yeah, 7 living CIA directors sit on think tanks that control our speech, control the media, they control the narrative. So he traces it, he goes through how the finances flow, how the government creates what they call cutout programs. The government doesn't want to be blamed, so they cut out an organization to do what the government wants, and then the government just simply sends the money. It's absolutely startling. We are a military state. We are run by the military. That's who is controlling the narrative. So if we still have a constitution and we still have a way to pray and a way to appeal to the constitution, but the constitution really is losing its teeth as we're undermining the basis of what the founding fathers built, which is a judicial system based on God's law. It has to be based on God's nature, and the people who are in power have to fear God or the whole system will be corruptible, and it is. So that's why it was so hard to drain the swamp, because the guys with the guns and the money seem to be controlling the swamp. And if you haven't seen that interview, that would be a good one. I don't even want to make a comment. I could, but it's just so good. You will be riveted for over an hour, and you'll have to listen to it twice to understand what he's saying. But he's been exposed. I think that's a part of the answer to our prayer. We wanted to know what's happening, who's ruling, who's in charge, why are insane decisions being made? Because it's to prop up the military security state, they call it. The military security state. I'll give you one more thing that might be helpful. So they keep saying, right, that Trump's a threat to democracy and we Christians and conservatives are a threat to democracy. And how could they say that with a straight face? If we're the majority of people want to vote for Trump, why are we a threat to democracy? So he defined it. He says, no, the democracy that they mean means that when they form a consensus between the military and financial institutions like BlackRock and then media, legacy media institutions, when the elites have worked out a consensus so that they all do the same thing and say the same thing, they're exhausted. It's like an achievement for them. They've worked very hard in their mind. They have achieved democracy. And the will of the people, who are too dumb in their mind to rule themselves, have to submit to the will of the consensus that they have formed. So once they have formed this consensus with many industrial leaders, and then you get a maverick coming along like Elon Musk or Donald Trump, it's upsetting. And so you could see it in their face and their voice. They genuinely mean it. Hillary Clinton will say, he's a threat to democracy. But how can that be if he's popular? I mean, the word populism, he's the leader of the populist movement, meaning the majority of people want him. And so he explained that, no, your definition of a constitutional republic and their definition of a democracy, they're totally different. They are planning out a total system of control, and they couldn't achieve it. And Trump was really the upsetting factor that showed they can't do it. And so now the last move to be able to do it is to have AI. Because to censor people like me, which they do, manually, it takes too much time. They didn't expect people like me to get 60 million views. They didn't expect other people to be able to bring the truth out that is not what their consensus is. And so they, once they realized that it was over, Trump won, so they said, we got to get a coordination between all of the big tech groups, military groups, financial groups. We will punish people, even close their bank accounts if they don't think the way we want them to think. We got to get a hold of this and control it. But social media was the thing, the internet and social media was the thing that's fairly new. If you don't realize, you know, YouTube is only since 2006. So it's a fairly new problem that they have. So now in response to that problem, they say, we can now simultaneously and automatically censor by learning how people think, speak, and write. So this is why all your devices are listening to you, everything you type in social media, they're learning who you are. So when the time comes, if you're misbehaving, we can say, we're going to shut off, you know, let's say 20 million Americans' bank accounts all at the same time. AI can do that much faster. So they must have AI at any cost, and the cost will be the environment, because nothing will consume more electricity than AI. Far more than gas, far more impact than cars, far more impact than farms. AI will consume 35 to 45 gigawatts of energy per year. So it's going to be the most destructive thing to the environment, and they won't say anything about it, because that's the necessary thing to now control people. Yeah, so that's where it's going. So then you get to Revelation 13, where finally the beast comes and the false prophet says, if you don't worship what we tell you, that's basically if you don't give over your beliefs and your thoughts to us, then we will kill you. How can you do that? How can you even know our thoughts? Well, they can predict your crime. We already have the pattern of your thought. We've gathered it. We've mined it. You've put it up on all these different platforms. So we know exactly what you think. We don't need you to commit the crime. We know you are the criminal. And that's where they're already heading, right? The crime right now is Trump didn't commit a crime, but he's fined $350 million. He didn't commit a crime, but it doesn't matter because we know what Trump thinks. He would commit a crime in their view, but that needs to be applied to every human being across the globe. That's AI, and that's Revelation 13, the mark of the beast. So I'm telling you, we're so close. We have the answers. I believe they can't do it while we, the Christians, are alive and remain. And that's one of the reasons the rapture happens. The rapture is not about us escaping. Tribulations happen to Christians all over the world for all time. It's not escape just for this particular group. It's to be able to do the plan of God. And these evil people, they claim that God, you know, God is in their face, God is controlling, Christians are hindering. So God says, okay, have it your way. Let's see if you can build your utopia. I'll let every scenario play out so when we get into eternity, no one will question my justice. That's what it's about. So as long as there is a Christian sitting in church saying, I don't think God's fair, God says, keep going. I'm not going to start eternity until the last Christian is convinced that I am just. I've never done an unfair thing to you. So it's taking a long time because Christians got a lot of accusations against God. Never mind the world. The Christians got it in the church. So we've got to get the Christians to repent of that, to see how good God is, and then we can then preach it to the world. And when we preach it, the judgment will fall very fast.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.